the world's economies run on their supply chains. Understanding them is the key to keeping global products moving. Welcome to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane, a series of business podcasts co-produced by the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. In this initial series of episodes, we explore the current state of logistics. Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is sponsored by HERE Technologies. Accelerate your business with spatial intelligence. Today's episode focuses on inventories. Here is your moderator, Supply Chain Quarterly's managing editor, Diane Rand.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is Zach Rogers, assistant professor at Colorado State University. Zach, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, recently, inventory levels spiked after being down for most of the past year. What does this mean for shippers in 2022?
Right. So a lot of things sort of converged at the end of 2021 and the beginning of 22, and it sort of created a perfect storm. You know, we had all of these sort of people worrying that we weren't going to get things here on time. You know, we're going to not have enough, stuff on the shelves for the holidays. And so everyone sort of pushed everything forward as quickly as we could. But the problem was, because everyone rushed at the same time at the end of last year, right? People were doing double orders, triple orders, with the thought being, well, I'll do a really big order, and then, you know, I won't have to worry about the delay, possibly, because I only need one boat to make it across the ocean, not, you know, three or four. And the thing is, everyone did it at the same time. We had way more volume coming through the ports. You know, we set records in 2021, the most we've ever had come through the port. I think the Port of LA, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 10.6 million TEUs came through. Just crazy, crazy numbers. And the problem is, not everything got here on time. Usually, a container going from the east coast of China to wherever the final point of consumption is in the US, so maybe to Fort Collins, Colorado, where I am, it should be about 40 days, 50 days. Right now, it's about 110 days for it to go that far. So everything's backed up by 60 days. And if you look at the date right now, it's about 60 days after the holidays. And so we had all this stuff getting in January and December that should have been here earlier, but it didn't get here on time because we just had too much going on. And so on top of that, December was actually slower in terms of sales than it normally should be. Real spending, like adjusted for seasonality, was down in December. Consumer spending was down like half a point in December. It should be up in December. Normally December is when you have the most spending going on. So we sort of had this double whammy of everything got here late and they're in huge quantities. And then spending was way, way down. We just released the most recent version of the Logistics Managers Index on Tuesday, March 1st. And it's so interesting. Our inventory levels are higher than they ever been, just the rates of growth for inventory levels. And it's not even really close. We just smashed through any record we'd ever had. The highest number we'd ever had, and for listeners who aren't familiar with the logistics index, any number over 50 means growth. Any number below 50 means contraction. We were at an 80.2 for February. We had never had anything above 72 before in the 5.5 years we've been doing this. So we were in 82 in February. That's up from, like, we were in the 50s and 40s all in 60s all year last year. And now suddenly this line is going up like a rocket. And it's because we rushed everything forward and then consumer spending just sort of stopped. And now we have more inventory in terms of durable goods. By the way, we should make that distinction. It's different for, like, components for manufacturing that we don't have too much of, but durable retail consumer goods going up now at a rate we've never seen before.
And so for the consumer spending being, you know, that it slowed down in December, is that a continuing trend that you see as January, and maybe you don't have the numbers for February yet. Are you noticing a trend? Do you think that that's going to continue into this year, that consumer spending will slow down?
I don't necessarily. I think spending will normalize though. You know, we
Okay.
had really this last year was a total outlier. You know, one, everyone was spending more on goods than they had in the past. You know, generally when you have money, you might spend it on services, like, oh, we're gonna go on a trip or go
Right.
to a concert or something like that. Well, no one could go on trips or go to concerts last year. And so instead, well, I'll buy another pair of shoes, or I'll buy you know, that bigger TV that I've wanted. So that's where all the money went last year. That should be different this year. We'll still see consumer spending. It's just that the distribution of that spending will be different as we spend more on services now that, you know, going out to eat, going to movies, things like that open back up, and less on goods. The other caveat I would put in there is that, you know, we've had these big stimulus sort of injections into the economy where, you know, we're spending trillions of dollars to get people through the pandemic, which probably kept a lot of businesses afloat and kept people who couldn't go to work afloat as well. The thing is, we've totally wound through all of that stimulus. You know, last March, when we had the third round of stimulus, the average savings account for an American was like 20, 25% higher than it would be normally. Now we've spent all that and we're pretty much back down to where we would be normally. We're actually maybe even a little bit lower than we were pre-pandemic. So there is a little less money in folks' pockets, and I think they'll start spending that money in a different way.
Gotcha. And so do you expect that companies will kind of turn back to their traditional, like, just-in-time inventory strategies, like moving forward this year? Now they have this big, you know, surplus of inventory of goods. Do you think that for their outlook for this year, that they'll kind of go back to their traditional strategies?
I think it's totally dependent on the industry.
Okay.
You know, auto manufacturers might not. You know, the F-150 plants in this first week of March, the F-150 factories are totally shut down because they don't have semiconductors. So you might not see that everywhere. I do think though, for retailers, you know, the death of JIT was very overstated. And really JIT in general, it's not so much that, oh, we always have to have inventory low. It's we have to have an inventory plan that makes sense for whatever's going on in the economy. Take Walmart, for example. Walmart has a lot more inventory in October than they do in July. Why is that? Because people are getting ready to spend money on the holiday seasons. And so I think the same way that we've sort of had, you know, seasonality moves inventory around, companies will sometimes be JIT and sometimes be just in case, you know, and it really depends on the sort of pressures I think in the system, and it's very much a product of the environment these companies are operating in. That being said, with this much inventory on hand, you would expect to see maybe some sales, maybe try to run some of this stuff down, and it's tough though. It's tough to put that inventory on up for a big discount. And the reason is that maybe you paid a premium to get it shipped over here. You know, you paid a lot to try to get it rushed over. Maybe you bought a bigger order than normal. And then if you didn't sell it, you're really in a tough place. And actually, right now we're seeing records set for sort of supply chain financing where companies are getting loans basically to pay for the expensive shipping for these goods they can't sell, and maybe using that inventory as collateral against that loan. So it's a tricky time. It's not necessarily, I mean, maybe Walmart can do it, but most companies can't just say, oh, we'll just put everything for 50% off and run this down because they already paid so much to get it here.
And with inflation and higher costs for transportation and warehousing, they are, you know, most likely going to want to find a way to recoup those, you know, that the, that money that they've injected into getting the goods there, and now they have it on hand. And you know, I'm really, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out through the end of the year. So my last question is, how do you expect inflation to affect companies' inventory strategies this year?
So that's a good question. There could be some deflationary part of having so much inventory, right? It's a classic supply and demand situation. if suddenly supply is higher than demand, then to reach equilibrium, price has to go down a little bit. The issue, though, is that inflation was not really just a product of a mismatch between supply and demand. Yes, consumer demand was very, very high last year, but it wasn't just that supply-demand mismatch. It's also really tied up in the total costs of logistics. We have had a shortage. We've had contraction. If you look at our logistics index, we've had contraction in available transportation and warehousing since the summer of 2021, basically. For transportation and then warehousing, technically we had a 2-month break in the summer of 21, but really it's almost been 2 years that warehousing space has been contracting. And so what that means is we don't have the drivers, we don't have the trucks, we don't have the space to facilitate all of this commerce, particularly e-commerce. And that's not going to change anytime soon. We are not going to just suddenly have a whole bunch of trucks on the road. I mean, just because we want to. Right now, if you ordered a class 8 53-footer truck, it's probably going to be ready in 14 months because of the shortage of key components like the chips, like the semiconductors. And so until we can get capacity back to where it needs to be, which everyone I'm talking to, everything I'm seeing is saying maybe 2023, we can really start to move in that direction on the transportation side. Warehousing is a whole different thing. But on the transportation side, maybe 2023. Until we get that in place, it seems unlikely that we're going to get back to what I, you know, a steady state where the economy seems sort of calm and we're at equilibrium. That being said, you know, we injected trillions of dollars of stimulus into the economy last year. If we didn't see inflation, that means something would have gone very wrong. So I think we will see a slowdown in the rates probably at some point. Now, of course, with everything going on with Russia and Ukraine, that totally can throw things out of whack in terms of cost of say, nickel for batteries or natural gas or oil or wheat or whatever else is coming out of those places. So take it with a grain of salt. But I do think that the rate of inflation will certainly be slower in 2022 than it is in 21 if the Russia-Ukraine thing doesn't just throw everything totally out of whack, which is, of course, definitely a possibility.
Exactly. Well, Zach, thank you so much for your time today. We certainly appreciate it, and we hope that we'll be able to have you back and talk about what happened this year and see if some of your predictions held out.
So absolutely. And if the people at home, I don't know if FanDuel has any bets on my predictions, but I mean, you know, I'd say to put some money down, have fun with it.
Well, today we've been talking with Zach Rogers, assistant professor at Colorado State University. And this has been Supply Chain in the Fast Lane.
Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is a co-production of the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. This episode has been brought to you by Hear Technologies. Accelerate your business with spatial intelligence. We encourage you to subscribe to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane wherever you get your podcasts.